Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Greetings of peace to everybody tuning into the Deen Show every week. We're here with some exciting topics and marriage. That's what you want guys to talk about marriage? We'll talk about marriage. High rate of divorce, it's increasing. Homes are getting broken. We want to keep them together, so we got to get some good advice because you know what? When the homes are broke, I've said this so many times before, then the society becomes broke. Who's playing what role? Roles are all mixed up and the home is all messed up. And we're going to try to give some practical tips and advice to keep it all together here on the Deen Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Deen Show.
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 This is the
Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
How are you? Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, brother Eddie?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah.
Great to have you back on the Deen Show.
Jazakallah khair and nice to be back.
Now, you have written many books on the topic. You tour the world doing these marriage workshops.
Yes.
And how is the feedback that you're getting?
Oh, mashallah, we really are getting very good feedback, and sometimes tears roll down my eyes because of this reward to have this kind of feedback. As a matter of fact, we're going to Morocco end of next month, inshallah, to have two workshops on marriage over there.
Are you able to save some homes?
Yeah, inshallah.
Yeah? It must be very rewarding, and this is what we're going to be talking about. You know, we know that the marriage is half of the deen.
It is.
Very important, very stressed. I want to talk about some specifics here. You know, in marriage, when two people come together, you know, they come together obviously for the love of their Creator, and they want to build a home that's based on the Quran and Sunnah. So pretty much you think that, okay, we got the blueprint. If we stick to it, everything should be okay.
Yes.
Why do things sometimes not go in the right direction?
I think there are many reasons for this. First, many people are taking marriage lightly. They're not taking it seriously. Particularly young people. In Quran, verse number 21 in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes marriage as solemn covenant. وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. So it is something that has to be taken very seriously. Also in Quran, verse number 21 in Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described marriage as one of his signs. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. That verse came among many verses that talk about the amazing signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation of human being, the creation of heavens and earth, the rain coming down, we as people have different colors, night and day, so many of the amazing signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the middle come marriage, which means that marriage is very serious business. It should not never be taken lightly. It's quite unfortunate that many of our young people do not prepare for marriage, and they approach it very lightly and say, yeah, we are not allowed to date in Islam, so this is a halal dating. And if it works well and good, if it doesn't work,
yeah,
we can separate, we can divorce. And that's why the rate of divorce is very, very high. But if there is a commitment from both spouses to work hard to make a successful marriage, it will be very successful. And how can we get this commitment? How can we help each other to be committed to have this serious effort to make that union success? I think understanding that it is a serious matter to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described as solemn covenant and it is one of his signs. I think also knowing that one of the main objectives of marriage is to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us many ahadith to that effect. من رزقه الله امرأة صالحة فقد أعانه على شطر دينه فليتق الله في الشطر الآخر. Whoever was blessed with a righteous spouse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have helped him or her on half of their deen. So let them fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the other half. I think also if we can always remind ourselves that divorce is the most hated permitted actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted us to have divorce, but he hates divorce. So do I want to do something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, he doesn't like? So if we remind ourselves with all these things, that will help us to commit and work hard, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen, to have a successful marriage. I would like to go back to the point that one of the main objectives of marriage is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to help each other to be stronger in faith, to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'd like to give the audience an example from the life of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how they helped each other to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a Sahabi, his name is Abu Dahdah. And when verse number 245 from Surah Al-Baqarah was revealed, and the verse go like this, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِضُ وَيَبْسُطُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Whoever loans Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a goodly loan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply it for him many folds. So Abu Dahdah did not understand the concept, and he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask him, Prophet of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of all wants, and he is asking us to give him a loan. It didn't make sense in his mind. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, يُرِيدُ أَن يُدْخِلَكُمْ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to give you an opportunity so you can, when you do it, you'll be admitted to paradise. So the concept was very nice to Abu Dahdah. He really liked it, you know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very generous with us. He gives us many opportunities to do things, and when we do it, we get rewarded by paradise, you know. So Abu Dahdah right away want to apply. So he told the Prophet ﷺ that he has two gardens, one in the upper part of Medina, one in the lower part of Medina, and he wants to give these two gardens as a goodly loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ advised him to give one and keep one for himself. And he accepted the Prophet's advice and he gave one and kept the other for himself. The Prophet congratulated him. But now look how Abu Dahdah is relaying the news to Umm Dahdah, his wife. He was chanting. He told her in poetry, because of the time I don't have to say the Arabic poetry. But what it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me, the best guidance, and I willingly give this garden for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's get out of here, it's not ours anymore. Now the reaction of Umm Dahdah. She was very pleased as he did this, and she kept thanking him. And you said, she said, you did the right thing. And this, subhanAllah, to guarantee a place for us in Jannah, jazakAllah khairan, Abu Dahdah.
She stuck by her man.
She praised him for doing this. She said, this is the best thing you ever done for us. And look, Abu Dahdah gave over half of his assets for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, think about sometime you're having an Islamic project and brother, okay, I'm going to give my next paycheck for this project. And the sister, how come you do this? You have to consult with me, you have to do this. Don't you know I have to buy this new furniture? Don't you know that we have to put the kid in university? Don't you know this? Don't you know that? You should support each other, you know. So if your husband is volunteering in the masjid or in the Islamic center or in a good project, support him. If your wife wants to go and attend the halaqah and the masjid so she can learn her deen, take care of the kids so she can do this. You see how to support each other to make us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we should be doing.
Work together. We're going to take a break and come back with more. Don't go anywhere. Here on the Deen Show. Right back.
Subscribe right now.
Back here on the Dean Show, Sheikh, there are some great examples. You see many people who are experts in this field, such as yourself and some of the not yet Muslims who are out there who have counseled so many married couples over, you know, so many decades, years, and a few of them have written some books, and the secrets that they come out that are not secrets, but, you know, great tips that people can benefit from. When you read some of their books, you see that, wow, this is what our deen is telling us. For instance, Dr., I believe his name is Emerson, if I'm not saying it wrong. He has a book, it's a bestseller. I believe he's a Christian. And he wrote it, I don't know if it was with his wife, but it's called Love and Respect.
Yes.
So the book kind of talks about when the woman gives, when the man gives the woman what she wants, or the woman gives the man what he needs, then the man gives the woman what she needs. They have a blissful marriage. But when they're not fulfilling
each other
in these things that are very, very important, where obviously both need love and respect, but the man needing this respect more than the love, and the woman needing the love more than respect, things just become more blissful. What are your comments on this?
Yeah, well, first couple of comments. First, there are many good books written by non-Muslims that have some very good advices, and I could easily put a verse from Quran or a hadith from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ to these good advices, you know. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, these advices are there in our deen. We have it there. The Prophet ﷺ gave it to us before. The second is, yes, we have to take into consideration the emotional needs and the physical needs of both spouses. So both of them have really to learn about each other and what pleases them, what puts them in the mood. So women in general have more need to fulfill their emotional being compared to men. Men emotional, they have emotional needs, of course, but not as strong as women. The physical need for men is much, much higher than that for the women. So to have a good, blissful relationship when it comes to this intimate relation is very important, that the men try to fulfill the emotional need of the woman. She will be willing to engage more in the physical needs he has. And as a matter of fact, this is said by Quran. When it talks about this relation, it tells us, particularly men, وَقَدِّمُوا لَأَنفُسْكُمْ, prepare for yourself. When you want to get engaged in this intimate relation, prepare for yourself. Put your wife in the mood that she will make her happy when she's engaged in this action. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in general. He didn't give details how to prepare yourself for yourself, because He wants us to know our partners and to know what will put them in the mood. One wife may be very happy if you get her a gift. The other wife may be very happy if you help her with the kids. Other wife will be in the mood if you just sit together and have a chat before you engage in this intimate act. A third one, if you go for a walk, it prepares her for this. So every husband should try to know what are the emotional needs of his spouse and try to fulfill it and prepare. Because this is part of our deen. There is nothing. And the Prophet ﷺ gave us many, many advices when it comes to this. So That's very important, and it helps cementing the relationship and keep it very strong and keep it very enjoyable.
I like to, sometimes when you cite some of these non-Islamic sources, but they actually, when you look at it, you, as you said, you can find ayahs from the Quran that are substantiating this, the examples from the last and final message of Prophet Muhammad. Sometimes people, you get their attention, right? But we have everything there in the Quran and Sunnah. There's another example. When a woman, she's not a Muslim, but when she did, obviously in Islam, we hold women to a high regard. We're to treat them in the most kindest, loving way. This is clear. Some people go to an extreme. This is the human deficiency of them, but we know where Islam places women in the highest level.
Exactly.
So now you have this woman saying that she, a non-Muslim woman, she wrote a book called The Surrendering Wife. So she talked about all of these problems she was having, but when she surrendered control to her husband now, obviously they, you know, in conjunction a lot of things, but when she now, because there's got to be one leader in the house, and this is what this identifies with Islam.
Yes.
Now she started to really appreciate marriage. Have you heard of this book, Surrendering Wife? It's by a woman now. Man didn't write this.
Yes, I heard about this book, and we talk about these elements that it's quite unfortunate that, as you mentioned, it is very clear where Islam stands. But some men took it to one extreme in terms of being the leader of the family. And he confused the meaning of the word qawama, qawam being the leader of the family, with certain cultural practices he have, which turned away many women. Mm-hmm. And they took it to the other extreme, and they become following the feminist movement to the extent that they don't even accept Allah's rule that man has to be the leader of the family. So these two extremes are not acceptable. Islam is very clear. The word qawam does not mean that you have to be controlling and bossing your wife and asking her to go right and left. And qawam means that you are standing, taking good care, helping, supporting, protecting your family. This is a responsibility given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not that you are a dictator in the house. And also, one of the conditions of being qawam is that you have to seek the input from the family members before you make any decision related to the family. And you make the decisions based on what's best for the family, not based on your own desire as a person. So that from the men's side, they really have to practice qawama properly. And I think this was one of the main purposes that I wrote my book, Family Leadership, Qawama, an obligation to fulfill, not an excuse to abuse. Because there is lots of misunderstanding about this concept of family leadership in Islam. And I put many practical situations and case studies where qawama is used appropriately and where is used inappropriately. There is 10 or 15 examples in both sides. Of course, first I had the support of Quran and Sunnah to explain what qawama means. So my advice for our brothers particularly, please do not take qawama as you are a dictator or a boss. No, take qawama as that this is a responsibility Allah gave to you, to protect, to help, to take good care, and make sure that you get the feedback and the input of all family members whenever you make a decision related to the family. And my advice to the sisters, accept this. This is the role that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the husband to play, and support him and give him the good feedback. And when both of you are working on this together, you are in the same team.
Same team.
And this is a way for you both to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Same team. On the same team, not opposing teams. We'll be right back with more here on the Deen Show.
Subscribe right now.
Back here on the Deen Show, and we're talking about one of the most, we were talking while on break, this gift, you know, that comes from the Creator. And at the same time, you know, having this trust and faithfulness in marriage. But before we go on to that, tell me about this gift that Allah has given us in this marriage.
Subhanallah, as I mentioned in verse number 21 in Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about marriage as one of His signs. And one of the important objectives of marriage is to achieve repose and peace and tranquility in the relationship. And He says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. He put between you this mawadda, which means love and compassion and mercy between you. As if, and the way it is stated in Arabic, it is, subhanAllah, it is, this is for sure happening. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a gift in our wedding night. Here is my gift to you, mawadda and rahma, between you. Like the sisters, you get together and make a bridal shower and give gifts to the bride. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is giving the couple a gift at the day of this. This gift is mawadda and rahmah. And I don't like the translation of mawadda as love. It is not just love. It is love. Love is an emotion. It is an internal emotion. But it is expressed in good, doing good things and helping each other, being better to each other, in kindness. And that's why one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wadud. But there is no name as Al-Muhibb, because he always expresses his love to us by giving us our children, giving us our rizq, our provision, and so many things that he gives to us, because he is Al-Wadud. He always expresses his love. So this mawadda and rahmah is there for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to us as a gift at the night of our wedding. What happened? You mentioned that the rate of divorce is very high. Why is this happening? Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, I gave you this, guys, what's going on? Because we don't nurture this gift enough. When you receive a gift from somebody that you love and respect, what you do with this gift? You take very good care of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you this gift at your wedding night, but you neglect it, and that's why you have problems. So it's very important to try to nurture this gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this mawadda and rahmah. Because if we nurture it enough, there will be no conflict, there will be no problems. We will avoid many of these problems, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Maryam in verse number 96, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمْ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ. So those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who act righteously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep this mawadda between them. As a matter of fact, in our book, Blissful Marriage, we have many, many attributes and qualities that will help couples, if they acquire these attributes and deal with it, that it will help a couple to nurture this gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mawadda and rahmah, and build their family life on harmony. And you mentioned also trust and faithfulness. This is a very important quality in marriage. And it is one of the key factors for a successful marriage. But as you know, trust has to be earned. It's not enough I tell my wife, just trust me. Trust has to be earned. And how can we create this atmosphere of trust and faithfulness within the family, between the couples? There is two beautiful advices from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. First, we have to follow the etiquettes of interaction with the opposite sex, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us. If I am interacting with a member from the other gender that's not my wife, there are certain etiquettes that I have to observe. I should lower my gaze. It should be no flirting, no. It only you are doing something because for certain business that you have to finish, but it is not that you relax and you joke and no. And this is the first advice from the Prophet. The second advice is to be transparent, fully transparent in this relationship. And there is an incident in the life of the Prophet that he emphasized this transparency. He was making i'tikaf once in the mosque. And his wife, Safiya radiallahu anha, she came to visit him in the mosque and start chatting with him. And after they chatted, he was walking her back to her room. You know, the rooms of his wife were attached to the mosque. So he was walking her back to her room. Two of the Sahaba, of the Ansar, were coming to enter the mosque. And, you know, i'tikaf at night, it's dark. So they saw the Prophet ﷺ walking with a lady. They don't know who is this lady. So they rushed as if to enter the mosque, as if they are not trying to embarrass the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, "Ala rislikuma, don't rush. Wait. She is my wife. She is Safiya." So he made sure that they know. See the transparency? He made sure that they know that he's not walking with a strange lady. The Sahaba told him, "Prophet of Allah, we will never suspect that you will be walking with a strange lady." He said, "I know. But shaitan always tries to instill ill thoughts in the mind of the human. And I want you to avoid this. فَخَشِيتُ أَنْ يُلْقِي فِي قَلْبِكُمَا شَرًّا أَوْ شَيْئًا. I want you to avoid this. So it's a great lesson for all of us that we should always be transparent in our relationship. So I make sure my wife knows exactly where I am. And how can she get hold of me? I think if I change my plans, I let her know, either with a call or an email, that the plan changed. So she knows exactly where I am at any point in time. I know exactly where she is. We're very transparent. She knows exactly all my financial dealing. When you create, when you treat each other with this transparency, it creates this atmosphere of faithfulness and trust between a couple. And this is a huge and very important factor that keeps the relationship very strong. And those who follow the advice of the Prophet Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, their marriages are very successful, still continuing for 30, 40, 50 years, you know.
Beautiful, beautiful advice. Sheikh, if people want to get a hold of you, and inshallah we can put together a seminar, a workshop on marriage inshallah, in Chicago maybe, how can they reach you to do one here in Chicago?
Again, you can email me through the info link on Family Dawn, www.familydawn.com. And we'll take it from there. We can send you the availability of this, and we'll send you all the documentation, and we can take it from there, inshallah. But I mean, it is very, very good workshop. People are really give us some very good feedback and testimonials. They say it really changed their life, you know.
Beautiful. May the Creator of the heavens and earth reward you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, brother.
And thank you for tuning into the Dean Show. We all have problems. We all have struggles. But it's beautiful when you get to, you have an open mind, open heart, and then you get to get some of these tips, you let it in, and you consider like, hold on, am I doing things right? Let me try to incorporate this this tip into my life and make some adjustments. Some people say, look, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but you're going against Islam, because Islam is always about empowering and changing for the better. So you want to be a better husband, you want to be a better wife, look to the verbatim word of God, the Quran, and the Sunnah, the way of the last and final Messenger of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and sit with people of knowledge, increase in knowledge, so you can increase in power now, you can be well-guided, instead of getting all those tips and tricks from maybe the daytime, nighttime, soap operas, dramas, which you're going to end up destroying your marriage. And inshallah, you got the benefit. Subscribe if you haven't. Follow us on the Facebook, Twitter. Now you can also join us on the Instagram. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you.
Subscribe right now.